Welcome back to Girl Meets Show, the relationships podcast for people in a relationship with TV. I'm Jordan.
I'm Taylor. We are a little bit rusty because it's been a couple weeks since we recorded, but we're back. We are going to be talking about Baby Reindeer, which is a Netflix limited series. We'll get into it, but first we have TV news. We haven't even talked about off the pod is that they're releasing The Jinx Part 2, a new season of The Jinx. So random.
I haven't even really learned what this second part is even about. Is it about his actual trial?
Yes. I think it's like about, I'm assuming it's his, because he's dead now, right? It's like where they left off up until he died. But that's just like me making an assumption. But I think it says it uncovers 8 more years of Robert Durst investigation.
Oh, wow.
So it's 6 more episodes that I think are going to be premiering week by week starting April 21st, aka already happened.
Oh, I didn't see that many people talking about it.
I know.
That's surprising. Here's my thought. I mean, obviously, I love The Jinx. There's nothing that they could do that's as exciting as part one, especially the finale of part one. But I was actually going to say before you said that it is already premiered that, like, oh, I'll kind of wait to see what people are saying. And if it's, like, really good, then I'll watch it.
Yeah.
But I'm not seeing anyone talk about it. I bet everyone's doing that, though.
We're all just waiting.
Yeah.
The first season was so good and, like, a perfect season of, like, true crime television that I was kind of like, well, I guess I might, I trust them. But also, this is not neither here nor there, but I did watch the 5th episode of Quiet on Set, and it made me feel icky, and then I changed my tune on, like, the whole thing. I didn't like it.
Well, I've heard that the people, like, the child stars and stuff are speaking out against them now. It's really upsetting, actually.
Yeah, it is. It's really interesting. So then I was just, like, questioning anyone who's, like, oh, wait, we can get money for this? Yeah. Let's do more, you know?
Yeah, totally. I think I'm definitely curious. I'm more curious about this than I was about that 5th episode of Quiet on Set, for sure.
Yeah.
Thank you for watching it, so I don't have to.
You're welcome. I've been meaning to tell you not to worry about it.
Something that I have actually wanted to talk to you about for these last 2 weeks that I kept forgetting to talk to you about. Something we have already spoken about, but Netflix has really ramped up the Bridgerton season 3 promo. Like, they dropped the full trailer. They've dropped all these fun things. And they have
Nicola Coughlan.
Yes. Nicola Coughlan is, like, busting her butt doing hilarious stuff and in the press and, like, really funny interviews and stuff. And something I'm really getting excited about, first of all, we just want to see, like, especially fat women deserve to be in love, and we get to watch that in, like, one of the more famous TV shows. Mm-hmm. And all the reception that I'm seeing to it online is all excited and positive, which I love, because I keep looking at the comments expecting people to be like, oh, she's ugly or something, but, like, everyone is stoked, and it makes me really, really happy and warms my heart, and I'm really excited about this season. The only thing is I wish it weren't split into 2 parts. It's annoying. But I just think that all the Bridgerton promo has been really cute. And I thought the trailer, like, the storyline looks intriguing too. Did you watch the trailer?
No, I didn't. And I haven't seen, like, any of this promo you speak of. So, well, it's so funny.
I'm clicking and it's in my algorithm, which makes me happy. But basically the plot is that Penelope is like, ugh, another season and I have no suitors and I hate my life. I'm really grumpy about it. And what's his name? Colin, like, comes home and they kind of have, like, he apologizes and they become, like, they're friends again. And he's like, I'll help you. Like, I'll help you, like, be your flirting coach. And, like, there's like one scene where he's like, show me where you're at. Like, I want to see you flirt with these guys. And she's, like, super awkward. And it's like, oh, no, she's such a lost cause. But then she gets, like, beautiful dresses and has the makeover. And obviously he's like, wait, I think I like her. I don't want her to like these other guys. And I'm like, yes, this is going to be really cute.
Dream come true.
I'm on board.
All us girls are looking for is a guy we already know and don't have to deal with all of the, like, first date dating app shenanigans. Like, yes. That's our dream come true. So,
and we also want, like, kind of that, like, oh, the perfect girl was in front of me all along.
Even though it's also like, well, what the heck is wrong with you and why didn't you like me before?
I know.
Still, I'd take it.
I was thinking that too. I was like, well, it's kind of dumb that he's like, oh, now he likes her, now that these other men are like, oh, Penelope. But I don't know. I like that her makeover isn't that she gets skinny, you know? Like, she's still herself. She just has, like, better hair and better dresses. And I love that.
Well, and it's funny because, so the only promo I have seen is, like, one photo of them on, like, a red carpet, and he looks completely different. I mostly think that's my favorite part of the Bridgerton seasons, is the men always get this crazy makeover and look so much hotter than they did previously.
Yes, it's so true. He do the Marvel workout for, like, a month, and we're going to give you a better haircut and stuff.
Yeah.
And the girls, you're just beautiful just as you are.
Just as you are. You don't need anything.
But yeah, the trailer, I'm fully converted. I'm very excited. And I'm excited that seems like a lot of people are excited. Because that's what she deserves.
She does. She deserves it all. Okay, I saw a few things about this, so I think it's true. That apparently the night manager is starring the one and only T.H. Tom Hiddleston. Is being renewed for two more seasons, which, like, that the two? First season came out so long ago.
When was that? I don't even remember how long ago that was. Like, was Trump even president yet?
I don't think so.
That is wild.
2016. So literally 8 years ago.
Wow. You know, I never watched that.
It's so funny because I thought we covered it on this podcast, but yeah, I guess we didn't have a podcast then. I watched it. I liked it.
I heard it was good. I just never did it. And I don't hear people clamoring right now for, like, oh, I wish there were two more seasons of The Night Manager.
No, it's so random.
Speaking of so random, they announced that the new Office series that it's set in the same universe. It's co-created by the original Office creator, Greg Daniels. But it's not a reboot, they say. But they announced that it's going to star Domhnall Gleeson and Sabrina Impacciatore from White Lotus, the, like, hotel manager in White Lotus Season 2. That is so far off anything that I would have imagined for a spinoff of The Office. And I honestly haven't read any, like, articles about it. I don't know if it's, like, supposed to be an international situation, if they're going to be in America or England, like, the OG one is in England. Like, no clue. It's so,
no idea.
So random.
And that only made me more confused. It did kind of pique my interest a little bit more, though, because I love him and her. So, interesting is all I can say about that.
Same.
Apparently, there's a new HBO series that Molly Shannon is going to executive produce and be the headliner. And the blurb says, it's a story about a woman, Shannon, deeply addicted to celebrity news and gossip. After friends and family finally confront her, she agrees to get help. Where? The same place that the stars get help, a fancy celebrity rehab in Malibu. Instead of confronting her demon, she behaves as if it's a Four Seasons. Once there, she connects with her favorite young starlet and must decide whether to return to her family or join her in Hollywood. I'm sold.
Oh my gosh. I mean, yeah, that sounds like a fun life, actually.
Yeah, it's perfect.
We had talked about that Margaret Qualley is going to be Amanda Knox in a new limited series at Hulu. Well, Margaret Qualley has exited that project. And something funny was that I saw someone tweet, Allison Williams, stay in line.
I saw that and thought it was so funny, too.
It's good. And she does look a lot more like Amanda Knox than Margaret Qualley does. So
makes more sense. And kind of like, I don't know why I'm assuming the quality of this show, but it just feels like it fits her more.
Yeah, I agree.
I don't think we've talked about this yet because I think it was announced right after we recorded last. Correct me if I'm wrong, though. Kit Harington confirming that HBO is not going to actually do the Jon Snow show. Crazy.
I mean, they talked about this for so long. I guess I respect it. Because didn't he say something? I can't find what my bookmark of that. But something like, we didn't really have a good story we all liked or something like that. We couldn't find the right story to tell that we were all excited about enough. And I'm like, good, then don't force it, because there's so many like ideas that probably just get made that are just kind of half-assed, and you guys are smart to just not do it. If it's not working out, move on.
Yeah, I'm sad, but would rather be bummed it never happened than bummed that it happened and it didn't happen right.
Exactly. I saw that we talked about Rachel Sennett's upcoming HBO comedy pilot about the codependent friend group. And Laureen Scafaria is going to direct and executive produce that pilot.
So that's very exciting. News. Very happy. For those who don't know, she did a lot of Succession.
Mm-hmm. Right? And Hustlers.
Yes, and Hustlers. I think we previously talked about Travis Kelce hosting Are You Smarter Than a Fifth Grader, but I think it was actually confirmed that it's Are You Smarter Than a Celebrity.
Yeah, I saw that too, and I was like, that's better.
Yeah, but apparently it's 20 episodes. Crazy.
Wow. Nothing in the world is 20 episodes anymore that I know of.
And can you imagine if Taylor goes on?
No. Would she be...
It won't happen.
So they're going to be like regular people, just like Joe Schmo off the street is smarter than Celebrity. So it's like, are you smarter than Taylor Swift? What are the celebrities that they're going to get? Like, it's not going to be Taylor Swift. It's going to be like...
No.
Hopefully it's like John Early and Kate Berland.
Our favorite niche celebrities.
Well, the Taylor Swift connection.
It's true. Don't never say never. As I mentioned earlier, we watched Baby Reindeer, which is a Netflix limited series. So it's 7 episodes, and almost all of the episodes are 30 minutes or less. So Jordan and I both binged it in one day. So we thought it would be fun to rank our top 3 shows that you can finish in one day. Jordan, go first.
My first one is called One Day, which we just recently watched, and is a very short show also.
Did you watch that in one day?
No, I didn't, but you could. I don't think those episodes are that long either, and there's probably like, is there like 8 maybe?
Yeah, I think so.
And it really breezes along. That's one that, something I remember about, I did binge it faster than I planned because you kind of just want to watch the next one once one episode ends. So yeah, it wouldn't be hard to watch it in one day.
My number 3 is a show I think I've plugged on here previously, but it's Such Brave Girls. It's on Hulu. It's only 6 episodes, and I think they're 30 minutes. And I really love the show. I have no idea if it is getting a second season or what, but I love it and watched it all in one night.
I know that you told me that I would love that show, and I forgot to add it to my like to watch list. So I'm going to do that.
Add it.
Right now. This one is kind of cheating because technically I've never sat and watched every season of this show in one day, but the seasons are so short and the episodes are so short that like you totally could. So that, and that's Dairy Girls.
Oh yeah, that's a good answer.
Like the I think the seasons are like 6 episodes long and they're like 21 minutes or something. Like it's so you blink and you're on like almost done with season 2. It's crazy.
Yeah. That's similar to mine. Girls 5 Eva, I said.
Oh.
Is a really good one. I think I binged both of those, the first season and the second season. Each of them I've binged in one day, but not like as a whole. But same deal. Short episodes, short seasons.
Mm-hmm.
Good show.
My number one I'm excited about because I recently told Taylor she has to watch it next time she has like a hole in her TV schedule. And that is Chewing Gum, starring Michaela Cole. And that has actually 2 seasons. So I think I would split them up, but they're both, I think, 6 episodes, 30 minutes. Like they, and it is, one of the like kookiest shows I've ever watched in the best way. And it's actually funny because, we'll get into this, but there were some aspects of Baby Reindeer that were really reminding me of I May Destroy You. So I was thinking about Michaela Cole, and Michaela Cole in Chewing Gum is like so different than Michaela Cole in I May Destroy You. It's like, though, it's just such a weird comedy, but there's one part that I think about all the time and I really want to talk to Taylor about it. So, so you really need to watch it.
It's still on my list. Don't worry. It's like, I've almost done it a couple of times, so I'm getting closer.
Maybe if we ever go through a drought again, which we probably won't because the strike's over, but that would be fun if I watch Such Brave Girls and you watch Chewing Gum.
That would be actually very fun. I'll remember that. My number one is Fleabag. I famously watch Fleabag at least once a year, and although I like to spread it out, in the last couple of months, I did watch both seasons in one night. And does it make me an emotional wreck? Yeah, it does. But it hurts so good, you know?
Yes. There's just nothing like it.
No. I just have to do it at least once a year.
Yeah, wow. That's actually funny because transitioning into Baby Reindeer, because Fleabag was also a play, like a one-woman play that became a TV series when Phoebe Waller-Bridge did her play, probably also at the Edinburgh Fringe Festival, just like Baby Reindeer was also a one-man play that is now a TV show. Very interesting.
Well, there you go.
I'm coming for your job.
Well, you should keep going into what is Baby Reindeer about?
The gist of Baby Reindeer is that an aspiring / failed comedian who is now a bartender basically kind of befriends this woman who comes into his bar who then ends up stalking him, and things really escalate from there. It like there's a lot of things unravel, like his own past highly traumatic experiences and the people around him are affected. Like it's a very wild tale, and it's all based on true events that really happened to him.
Lovely. My first thing I'm going to say is that it is based on a true story, and the main character is the guy who wrote it and whose life it's based on. And I wish I would have known that before I watched it.
Mm.
I didn't know. I think I would have liked it slightly more if I knew that. Because now that I know that, some of my criticisms of it are no longer really that valid.
Oh, that's interesting.
Honestly.
I think I only found that out because off air I told Taylor I was Googling the lead's age because he looked really old, but he's actually younger than me. And that was when I saw that.
It hurts.
It really hurts. And that's where I saw his name. I was like, oh, he's the guy, like, blah, blah, blah. Like, because I stumbled onto his Wikipedia, basically. So, yeah, that would be an interesting like reveal once you've already watched it. That's interesting.
I liked it. I was never bored. It goes really quick. The mm-hmm. story is just like so insane. And like, honestly, at parts of it, I felt like it was like too insane and too wild. So I think mm-hmm. that's why I would have liked knowing that it was based on a true story, because that makes it more insane. And like, that is crazy. When I was watching it without knowing that, I was just kind of like, is this necessary to like go this far at like this, in this way? Because mm-hmm. it's pretty dark and triggering, especially when it comes to sexual violence and like drug use, being like pushed into using drugs. Like it was just like some really dark times.
Yes.
Did you like it? How were your overall vibes? Vibes, feelings is what I meant to say.
Vibes and feelings. I know I did like it. I thought that like the acting was all good. It was very, like you're saying, like it was extremely triggering and dark at times, and then sometimes it would hook you in because it is so fast moving, and especially like the first half, like there were like legitimately funny parts. It's very, very like dark comedy kind of thing. So I definitely liked it, but I think just by the end, it really is exhausting how some of these characters just keep, especially the lead character, like keeps not doing a smart thing. And it's just kind of like, why? Like I was like yelling at the TV plenty of times, like why this could have been avoided, you know, like so many times. But it is based on a true story, so you know, real people are frustrating and human and make very big mistakes. So yeah, I think I enjoyed the first half more. The second half, I felt like that there were some of those same, what I would consider mistakes, like continued up until like the final episode. And so it didn't really leave me on like a very resolved note, which I think was the point. It kind of does, but I feel like there's just so much, like, I don't want to spoil things, but like revisiting certain past characters and stuff like that. I was like, don't do that. Don't do that.
Well, I think we should just go into spoilers, because I kind of want to say something, and I feel like I'm curious your thoughts on the very end.
Okay.
So, spoiler. The very end of the season, I was like, on first watch, I was like, oh, is this like, so he's now going to like do the same thing and like kind of be put in the same cycle? But then after like reading TV Time comments and seeing like a TikTok or something, I liked the resolve of like, oh no, he finally realized that like this wasn't his fault and like he was kind of a victim.
I have that comment screenshot in my notes from TV Time.
Oh, do you?
Yes.
So then I liked it. Because I do feel like he did put himself in like some situations where you're just like, no, don't do it. But it's still like the other people who were like actually doing the not good thing. I don't know. Mm-hmm. I feel like I'm not saying that right.
I was just like, I hated when he went back to his abuser's house. I was having like a visceral reaction. I was like scared. I didn't, because it's like, oh, this guy still has power. He can still give him this great writing job, you know, all this stuff. But like, I wanted like the bad people to be punished. And I didn't really feel like I was getting that at all. You know, it's like, even after that video of him went viral, it's like, well, he never said who did it. And so that was like very infuriating to me.
But so this is kind of taken over my TikTok feed, which is weird that like I watched it, finished it, and then like the next hour I was on TikTok and it was like my whole feed.
Yeah. Wow.
I saw, so people, there's a guy that people have figured out that is the guy that abused him. And apparently he just like stepped down and like he like they have like a connecting TV show on IMDb that like makes sense and is similar to the like Cottonmouth show in name. Like people have connected him.
Oh my gosh.
And I guess he's like has stepped down and no longer has that job. Which is really interesting. And I guess like making the, and like the actor looks exactly like him.
Oh,
so I
really?
Guess like it just, the resolution hadn't happened yet, but through putting this show out, mm-hmm. it has.
Well,
which
and
I think is interesting.
I would obviously rather there be that type of consequences in real life than in the narrative of the show, you know? So that, yeah. That actually makes me feel better, like a lot better.
Yeah.
Something else that I thought was interesting of my own reaction to the show was in the first half, which I enjoyed. I didn't dislike the second half or anything. One of my notes is just that it was getting a little like frustrating and repetitive by like episode 6 or something. It was just like,
yeah,
it started to get really grating that I'm like, oh my gosh, like this guy could be so happy. And it's really, the show is really about like the shame that he felt that he didn't deserve to be happy. And he deserved these bad things. Like he was letting all these bad things happen to him when he could have told the cops that Martha ripped out Terry's hair and crashed a bottle over his head. You know, like he could have gotten help, but like he wasn't letting himself get it. So it's like, I understand that, but it was really hard, really hard to watch him wallow in that and like just watch this poor guy. Like it was mm-hmm. really upsetting. One complaint I did have that is on a more light note is that I loved Terry, his girlfriend, and by the second half, she was just gone. And I really wanted more Terry because she was so beautiful and smart. And I get that he kind of drove her away in part of his downward spiral. But I really missed her. And she was like my favorite character.
Yeah, she was my favorite character too. And actually, I mean, not to completely keep going and close this episode up too early. But I was planning on having Terry be my crush of the week because she was my favorite part. She's yeah. so good.
I really like, who is she? She needs to be in more stuff. She was so
well
pretty.
I think I remember her from the Disclosure documentary on Netflix that we talked about.
I saw that in IMDb, but I couldn't place her or anything. I should honestly rewatch Disclosure. That's really good.
I know, it was so good. It was so good. I didn't connect it until I saw it on IMDb, but anyway, I hope that this is just like the beginning of a very big career because she was stunning mm-hmm. and really good.
Mm-hmm. I mean, probably will be. This show has kind of gone viral.
Yeah, it has. It's very interesting. Also, I should have said this before we were talking spoilers, but I did laugh, especially at the beginning where like it was first started showing like the stalker emails.
Yes.
Like I think one of the first ones like, who this? She ugly. I was dying. I was like, that is the funniest thing I've ever read.
The one that got me was the first one that he shows at the police station that's like, I just had an egg. Oh, man.
I will say also, I thought it was a really interesting commentary on police and how their inability to do anything till there's actually action that happens and how infuriating it is. I thought it was...
Yeah.
That was a pretty strong message that I thought was done well.
Yeah, that's true. It really packed so much into only 7 short episodes, which is really impressive.
Yeah, very. Okay, who's your crush of the week?
Terry is extremely crush-worthy. You know what? I will say for mine, Richard Gadd, the lead. He was very good. He has to do like voiceover of his thoughts. He sometimes, it's like when it starts out, you think he's just kind of this like regular dude, and then you find out his history and you're just like really shook by it all.
Yeah.
And he did a really good job of like showing basically so many different stages of like a depressed person. Like, but sometimes he seemed like at the beginning, you're like, oh, this guy's so cocky, you know, like, oh, he wants to be a comedian, like all this stuff. But it's like, actually, he's like the saddest man who's ever lived. To paraphrase, to borrow a phrase from Taylor Swift. but and change it a little bit, but
as we should.
Yeah, like it was I was pretty impressed with him. And it'll be
Yeah, I was too.
I signed like he's been in a lot of other shows. Not many that I've watched yet, but like I did see that he wrote an episode of Sex Education and was in that in one episode. And I was like, yeah, wow, very okay. Cool. That tracks because he's clearly very talented. But yeah, I thought this was like heartbreaking. It was very upsetting. It was so weird because I really couldn't stop. I watched it in one night, but I was like, am I enjoying is not the right word. Like, I think like if you like dark stuff, you'll like this. If you don't, you probably will not enjoy it, you know?
Yeah, it was definitely way darker than I was anticipating, especially where it like it first started. I thought it was just going to be like silly, kooky stalker story, but then it got really, really dark pretty quickly. So I enjoyed it, but definitely not a show I would say everyone should watch it.
I agree.
At all. There you have it, Baby Reindeer. I'm very excited because next week we get to watch and discuss Shogun, which people have been begging us to watch. So I'm really, really, really excited.
Everyone's raving about it. I'm excited too.
So watch it if you haven't already, and we'll catch you next week. Bye.
Bye.